These four are said to be not born of anything, not caused by anything. Why? Because there is no arising of arising. And the other two are the mere maturing and breaking up of what has arisen. That means they are just the phases, different phases of the material properties which have arisen. They are not, actually they are not separate material properties. So they are not said to be caused by anything. Anything mean any karma or consciousness or temperature or nutriment. But there is a passage which says the visible database, the sound base, odor base, the flavor base, the tangible database, the space element, the water element, lightness of matter, malleability of matter, wildness of matter, growth of matter, continuity of matter, these two, and physical food. These states are consciousness originated. So this is from the Abhidhamma text. So in Abhidhamma it is said that growth of matter and continuity of matter are originated by consciousness. And likewise, there are passages where they are said to be caused by the other causes like karma and so on. So how about that? And the answer is, actually they are not caused by anything, but they are evident when the the functions of karma and so on are still said to be existing. Now, suppose there is a relinking or rebirth. At the first sub moment of rebirth, then there is karma born matter. Now, karma is always concerned about producing something. Only after it has produced something will it give up this concern. So it is still concerned about producing results. So at the very moment of arising, its concern has not yet disappeared. And birth, or these two, growth of matter and continuity of matter, are seen at that moment. So that is why they are said to be caused by karma, citta, and so on. Although, in fact, they are not caused by anything. They are said to be caused by, say, karma, because the exercising of the function is still, function of karma is still there. Karma's concern for producing material property is still exercising at the moment of genesis or at the moment of arising. So that is why they are said to be caused by karma. And the citta, with regard to citta, the same thing. Then we come to consciousness aggregate. Or vijñāna-khaṇḍa. So among the remaining aggregates of whatever has the characteristic of being felt. Now it is not correct. Whatever has the characteristic of feeling should be understood or taken together as the feeling aggregate. Not being felt, but feeling. He misunderstood the word. The Pali word is vedhīta. And it looks like a passive past participle, the word. But it is not passive past participle here. It is something like a verbal noun. See, not which is that which is felt, but that which feels, or just feeling. So here the word vedhīta means feeling. not being felt. If you know a little Pali, you'll understand that. The suffix ta, T-A, the suffix ta is added to roots to mean passive. So here, vedayita. So it could mean which is felt, but here it is used in the sense of just feeling, not being felt. So the characteristic of feeling should be understood, all taken together as the feeling aggregate. Because feeling aggregate is that which has a feeling as characteristic, and that which is not felt. If it is felt, then there must be another feeling. So, and feeling here is explained in the sub-commentary as experiencing the taste of object. So that is what we call feeling. We can even say enjoying the taste of object. And now, the aggregate of consciousness. So aggregate of consciousness is described in this book following the order given in the original Abhidhamma text. And this order is different from the order we are familiar with, because we are familiar with the order given in the manual of Abhidhamma. And the order given in manual of Abhidhamma is different from order given in the original Abhidhamma text. And the Visuddhimagga follows the order given in the original Abhidhamma text. That is why I've made these notes. So this chart is the same as the dots, but just the numbers are given here, so that you know when I say number 31, you can just pinpoint it.
Oh, thank you.
And then, yeah.
<That's>
Now, the other two sheets. This sheet. And this is something like a concordance. So, the numbers given in this book are different from numbers given in the manual of Abhidhamma. Let us say, if you read the paragraph 83, herein that of the sense sphere is eightfold, being classified according to joy, equanimity, knowledge, and prompting, that is to say, one, when accompanied by joy. So, no. This number one, given in this book, is number 31 in this chart. Now you can identify them, right? So, now number two. So number two given in the path of purification is what? Number 32. In this. So it can help you to identify. So the plan of the types of consciousness given in the path of purification is, as I said, according to the text, original text of Abhidhamma, and so they are classified in this way. The last sheet. So first, kusala. Second, akusala. And then third, abhyakada. So first, these three major divisions: kusala, wholesome; akusala, unwholesome; and abhyakada, indeterminate. And then kusala is divided into kama vajra, belonging to sense sphere; rupa vajra, belonging to material sphere; arupa vajra, belonging to immaterial sphere; and Lokutra Supramundane. Then Akusala is divided into three, Lobha Mula, that is accompanied by Lobha, attachment, Dosa Mula, accompanied by Dosa, or having Dosa as a root, and Moha Mula. You can find the English translation in the Path of Purification. So, and I give the paragraph numbers, so you can find them easily in the book. And then Abhyagata is the most comprehensive. And Abhyagata is first divided into Vipaka, and then down Kiriya. So Vipaka, resultant, and Kiriya, functional. Then Vipaka is subdivided into Kama Vajra Vipaka, and then going down, Rupa Vajra Vipaka, Arupa Vajra Vipaka, Lokudra Vipaka. And then Kama Vajra Vipaka is divided into Kusala Vipaka, Akusala Vipaka. And then Kusala Vipaka is divided into Ahituka, without root, and Sahituka, with root. So this is the plan. And then Kiriya is divided into Kama Vajra, Rupa Vajra, Arupa Vajra. And then Kama Vajra Kiriya is divided into Ahituka and Sahituka. So this is the order given in the Path of Purification. So there are altogether 89 types of consciousness explained in this chapter. Not 121, but 89 and 121 are the same, because the eight supramundane types of consciousness, when we multiply the eight supramundane types of consciousness with five jhanas, we get 40 supramundane. So the number of chetas become 121. If we take supramundane consciousness as just eight, then we get 89 types of consciousness. So these 89 types of consciousness are described in this book. Now, in the footnote on page 507, there's a discussion about the words nama, vinyana, mano, chitta, and chito. These are synonyms: nama, vinyana, mano, chitta, and chito. But see, while their etymology can be looked up in the dictionary, one or two points need noting here. Nama, rendered by mentality when not used to refer to a name, is almost confined in the sense considered to the expression nama rupa, mentality, materiality, as a fourth member of the dependent origination, where it comprises the three mental aggregates of feeling, perceptions, and formations, but not that of consciousness. I cannot agree with the word almost here. It's almost confined. Actually, nama means, as it is said there, nama means three mental aggregates only when it is used in the dependent origination. So if it is used as a link in dependent origination, yes, nama means feeling, perception, and formations. But in other places, nama means chitta and chittasikas, both, not chittasikas only. So I do not like the word almost here. Maybe it's sometimes confined, something like that. Not almost, but sometimes. Only when given as a link in the dependent origination. If you go to chapter 18 and paragraph 8, now, the immaterial states just mean nama, and there it is described as, that is to say, the 81 kinds of mundane consciousness consisting of the two sets of five consciousness and so on. So, nama means both consciousness and mental factors. But in another Abhidhamma text, nama also includes nibbana. So nibbana is also called nama, although it is not mental. Nibbana is something different from mentality and materiality. But in Pali, it is called nama. If you want to get confused, then just leave it alone. So let us take that nama means mostly means consciousness and mental factors together. But in the dependent origination, as a fourth member of the dependent origination, then there is the word nama rupa, and there nama means only the mental factors. You know why? Because there is consciousness above it. Depending on ignorance, there are mental formations. Depending on mental formations, there is consciousness. And depending on consciousness, there is nama and rupa. So, when we say nama depends on consciousness, then nama cannot include consciousness. That is why nama is made to mean only feeling, perception, and mental formations in the dependent origination. But outside the dependent origination, nama always means chitta and chittasikas together. So, nama, vinyana, mano, chitta, and chitta are all synonyms, and they just mean chitta. So, vinyana means chitta, mano means chitta, chitta means chitta, and chitta and sometimes mean also chitta. And then, footnote 36, the explanation of kama vajra. Now, sense fear. Here, there are two kinds of sense desire. Not that there are two kinds of sense desires. Let us say, there are two kinds of karma. Now, please note the word karma, the Pali word. There are two kinds of karma. One is karma is vattu karma. You see the word vattu karma there? So, one is vattu karma and the other is kilesa karma. So, there are two kinds of karma. Vattu karma means objects of desire. Say, sight, sound, smells, taste and touch. So, they are called vattu karma. So, vattu here means just the thing. The thing which is desired. So, when it means these five things, then the word karma is to be known in a passive sense. Desired. So something which is desired is called karma. When we mean karma to mean kilesa karma, kilesa means mental defilements, then it has an active sense. Something that desires. So sense desire is defilement, kilesa karma. So there are two kinds of karma. So whenever we use the word karma, we must be sure that we mean vattu karma or kilesa karma. So whenever we find the word karma, we cannot translate it as sense desire. Sometimes I prefer the word sense objects. The objects of senses. Objects of desire, actually. So there are two kinds of karma. Vattu karma and kilesa karma. Of these, sense desire is objective basis. And that means just the objects. particularized as the five chords of sense desire. They are called five chords of sense objects, and they are simply sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And sense desire is defilement, which is craving, desires. So here it has the active meaning. The sense sphere is where these two operate together. Sense sphere means the world of human beings, the world of the full woeful states, and the world of lower celestial beings. So that sphere is called sense sphere, because both Vattu Kama and Kilesa Kama operate here. But what is that? It is the 11-fold sense desire becoming. Hell, Asura, demons, ghosts, animals, human beings, and six sensual sphere, heaven. So too with the fine material sphere and the immaterial sphere, taking fine material as craving for the fine material too, and so on. So these are the explanation of the words Rupa Vajra and Arupa Vajra. And Logotra is explained as something which crosses over from the world. So it is called Logotra, supramundane. So whenever we find the word karma, we must be careful not to translate it as sense desire everywhere. Sometimes it means sense desire, sometimes it means sense objects or objects of desire. And on page 508, paragraph 80, before the paragraph 85. No, it's not the paragraph, but the number is given there as 85. There's an explanation of the word sankhara. For in this sense, prompting is a term for the prior effort exerted by himself or others. Now, when we describe consciousness, we use the word sankhara. See, it is with sankhara or without sankhara. And the word sankhara here means effort, a prior effort before doing something. So it has a special sense. I think you are familiar with the word sankhara. Sankhara means those that are conditioned, and also those that condition. But here, in this particular context, sankhara means just prior effort. So with effort and without effort. That means with prompting and without prompting. So this is the definition of the word sankhara, and we should note this for explanation when you teach Abhidhamma. In this sense, prompting is a term for a prior effort exerted by himself or others. And then the examples of the types of consciousness are given, so they are not difficult to understand. And then in paragraph 86, at the end of that paragraph, the fifth is associated with equanimity. And equanimity here means feeling, neutral feeling. You know, there are pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So the third one is called neutral feeling, and the third one is called upekkha. Because the word upekkha can mean feeling, neutral feeling, all the real equanimity. So here equanimity means just neutral feeling, not somanasa, not domanasa. And then the numbers are given here, and so when you see the numbers, you can check with the notes given today, this sheet, and then go to that sheet if you are already familiar with would be familiar with the dots. So on page 509, paragraph 91, when a man is happy and content in placing wrong view foremost of the thought beginning, there is no danger in sense desire and so on. I want to strike out the word in. He is not happy in placing wrong view foremost. He is happy and he is content, and he places wrong view foremost in his mind. That means with wrong view, he does something. So when a man is happy and content, placing wrong view foremost of the thought beginning, there is no danger in sense desire and either enjoys and so on. So the word in is not needed here. And then down the paragraph about the bottom of the paragraph, but when the consciousnesses are devoid of joy in these four instances, through encountering no excellence in the sense desires, here sense objects, not sense desires, sense objects which are desired, or which are objects of desire. And then, page 510, paragraph 96, eye consciousness. Eye consciousness means seeing consciousness, has the characteristic of being supported by the eye and cognizing visible data. Its function is to have only visible data as its object. That means the eye consciousness sees just the visible object. And when it sees, it just sees it, and it does not see that it is blue or that it is red or whatever. Just the eye consciousness sees the object just as a visible object. And then we know that it is blue, it is green by manodwara, by mind or thought process, not by the idea thought process. So that is why it is said only visible data and not color, shape and so on. And it is manifested as occupation with visible data. I think it is not let me see. Let us go to paragraph 107. About four lines. It is manifested as confrontation of visible data. The same words. So here also, not occupation. It is being faced with visible data. A confrontation. Confrontation means being faced with visible data. Not occupation with visible data. And its proximate cause is departure of, that means disappearance of, the functional mind element that has visible data as its object. Now, in order to understand these passages, you have to understand at least the thought process. During the Abhidhamma classes, I talk about thought processes. So if you have notes, please take those notes and look at the first thought process, and then read these passages. Because here, the eye consciousness, its proximate cause is the departure of the functional mind element that has visible data as its object. That means, immediately before eye consciousness, what is there? Panchadwara Vajana. So, disappearance of that functional mind element, or disappearance of five-door adverting, is proximate cause for eye consciousness. That is, if the functional mind element does not disappear, then eye consciousness cannot arise. So, functional mind element disappears so that I consciousness can arise. Therefore, disappearance of functioning in I consciousness is a proximate cause for I consciousness. Something like when you are in a line, the disappearance of the man before is the proximate cause for you are being there. And then the mind element as receiving or accepting and so on. Then and then on page 500 and we beginning with page 513 paragraph 110 the 14 kinds of modes or 14 kinds of functions are explained. Say these 89 types of consciousness have different functions. Some types of consciousness have one function only, but others have maybe two functions, five functions, and so on. So these 14 functions performed by different types of consciousness are explained beginning with paragraph 110. And these also, to understand these functions also, you need to have a diagram of the thought process. So looking at the thought process diagram, and you read these passages and you will understand them. And in paragraph 111, about 7 lines or 8 lines down, entering upon the state of eunuchs, that means being reborn as eunuchs. So entering upon the state of simply means being reborn as. And then in the footnote 42, third line, sign of karma is the gift to be given that was a condition for the volition and so on. So after to be given, please add etc. The gift to be given etc. That was a condition for the volition. And footnote 44, with that same object, if karma is the life continuums, it's a mistake, relinking object, not life continuums, relinking or rebirth. So if karma is the relinking object, then it is that karma and so on. So these 14 modes or 14 functions are explained one by one. And at the end, where do we end here? Now, paragraph 123, there's a saying, for the last life continuum consciousness of all in one becoming is called death duty, because of falling from that becoming. Now, in one given life, relinking life continuum and death are of the same type of consciousness. Actually, relinking consciousness is a resultant consciousness. And this consciousness repeats itself all through the life. But when, after the first moment of relinking, it arises, it is called life continuum. And at the end of life also, that type of consciousness arises. And that we call death. dead consciousness or 2D. So in one given life, the relinking life continuum and dead consciousness are of the same type of consciousness. So if, that is why it is called, it is said here, for the last life continuum consciousness of all in one becoming is called death. So the life continuum, the last life continuum is what we call death. So these three kinds of consciousness are just the same, one and the same type of consciousness. When I taught Abhidhamma, the chapter on Theta takes me about how many talks? 6 or 7 talks. Today we are doing it 1 hour.
I don't know.
So next week, what?
Next week.
The end of the chapter?
Yeah, let me see. So feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, and then what? The volition aggregate. Not yet to the end. According to period. Maybe about page 535. Classification of the 5 aggregates under 11 heads. Up to that. And do you have a note for I handed at the Abhidhamma class? Those will be handy because next week it will be description of the mental states. So if you have those notes with you, it's better.